Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. The Los Angeles Unified School District has agreed to pay about $30 million to settle 58 lawsuits over allegations of sexual misconduct by former teachers at Miramonte Elementary. The district has been in mediation with students and their families for months. David Holmquist is the LAUSD's general counsel.
We're not admitting liability, but we realize it's a tragic circumstance for sure. Students have definitely suffered, and so what we think is in the best interest of students is to try to put this behind us.
A judge must still approve the deal. There are still more than 100 unresolved claims pending against the nation's second-largest school district. Those families are hoping for a trial date in July. The Archdiocese of Los Angeles has agreed to pay nearly $10 million to four men who say they were molested by one of the church's pedophile priests, Michael Baker, who's been accused of molesting at least 23 boys over three decades. The church has settled several cases involving Baker, but it's believed the recent release of 12,000 pages of internal archdiocese records, including mention of Baker, played heavily into this week's deal. Those files reveal the priest admitted abusing boys to then-Archbishop Roger Mahoney during a 1986 retreat. Mahoney sent Baker to a New Mexico treatment center and then returned him to the ministry where he molested again. Baker was defrocked in 2000, and he's been living in Costa Mesa after serving prison time for a case that closed in 2007. Baker is not required to pay anything under the terms of this settlement. A coalition of environmental and labor groups rallied on the steps of the state capitol yesterday, raising the alarm over the governor's call to reform the California Environmental Quality Act, or CEQA. Developers have long called for changes to make it harder for people to challenge projects, but they and the governor face a fierce political battle in the months to come, as Sacramento Bureau Chief Scott Detrow reports.
Senate President Pro Tem Daryl Steinberg says he likes CEQA. He really does.
At the same time, there have been many instances where the process just takes too darn long.
The Senate's top Democrat is a key figure in an effort Governor Brown has made a priority, an update of California's 43-year-old environmental impact law. Steinberg introduced a bill outlined last month. The measure would speed up environmental reviews for renewable energy projects and cut back on lawsuits designed to slow down and block construction, among other changes. Business groups working with Steinberg say the changes they're pushing for would keep environmental controls in place but eliminate legal obstruction. A coalition of environmental and labor groups isn't buying the argument, though. Speaking at the Capitol yesterday, Art Pulaski of the California Labor Federation says he'd work to block every effort to update CEQA.
CEQA protects us from massive amounts of pollution in the state of California, makes our workplaces safer, and it makes our communities cleaner.
It's not clear when Steinberg's bill will be fleshed out beyond an outline, but Governor Brown has made it clear he'll push for a CEQA update this year. For the California Report, I'm Scott Detrow in Sacramento.
Governor Jerry Brown's proposal to redistribute education funding red pencils nearly 60 programs the state runs to give the money and the control to local school districts. One of those programs helps kids in foster care survive academically as they shuttle between homes and schools. Fans of foster care services, and there are many given that it's a national model, worry the kids will fall through the cracks of the new system, as Peter John Schuler reports.
22-year-old Antaeus Stinson was in the foster care system since he was three. He says he's lived in a lot of different places and gone to a lot of different schools.
I was actually in high school in Merced, Modesto, Stockton, and then finally here in San Jose.
Stinson is highly motivated and pushed himself to learn, but he says his situation didn't make it easy.
The curriculum kept changing. I never really caught up to the classes and never really understood. I was always just jumped into a class.
Most foster care students share Stinson's experience, says Karen Scusel, executive director of Child Advocates of Silicon Valley. And that's precisely why the legislature established foster youth services in the first place. It provides counseling and academic support. It also acts as an advocate for individual kids. Legislation has strengthened the rules around making sure kids' records follow them from school to school. It's Foster Youth Services' job to make sure this happens.
In years past, sometimes they would be out of school for a couple of weeks until records were transferred, until everything was put in place in terms of registering for the new school. So Foster Youth Services ensures that those records are transferred. They make sure that the schools understand their obligations, making sure that the foster youth are getting the education that they need and that they deserve.
Foster Youth Services is one of about 60 categorical programs that will be eliminated under the governor's new formula. Instead, that money will go directly to school districts. But advocates for keeping the program say that without the same infrastructure, foster youth are more likely to be neglected. H.D. Palmer is spokesman with the State Department of Finance.
That's an argument that could be made for any number of categorical programs that we are including into the formula. Broadly speaking, the governor believes that it is far better to give greater authority, greater accountability, and greater responsibility down to the level that is closest to the students that are being taught, and that's at the school district level.
Palmer says that the special status of foster youth is why the governor has added them to the list of students receiving supplemental funding, along with low-income students and English learners. Daniel Heimpel, a longtime advocate for foster youth, is not convinced. He worries school districts are simply not ready to take on the responsibilities previously handled by education offices in each county. Those county offices coordinate foster care advocates with the juvenile justice system and other child welfare agencies.
The likelihood that they're going to implement a system to make sure that they're keeping track of these kids is very unlikely. And I'm concerned because you have a 30-year-old program that's a gold standard in the nation in terms of educating foster youth that only costs $15 million that you're essentially throwing away.
But at San Jose Unified School District, Chief Business Officer Steve McMahon disagrees.
We have 32,000 students. Is it possible students are lost in the shuffle? Yes. Are we conscious of it? Extremely so. And I think when your mission statement specifically addresses closing the opportunity gap, it ensures that our district specifically is much more focused on the needs of all students, especially the ones who have traditionally been underserved. We wouldn't be doing our job and we wouldn't be fulfilling our own mission if we lost sight of these students.
Questions remain over whether that same commitment will exist throughout the state's 1,000 school districts, and advocates worry the added flexibility for school districts will ultimately be at the expense of the 42,000 children in the state's foster care system. Kids, they say, who already face overwhelming challenges just to survive. For the California Report, I'm Peter John Schuler.
That's the California Report for Wednesday, March 13th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Fallas Family Fund for coverage of climate change, and Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as email archiving for compliance and litigation readiness. Barracuda.com.